It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the wash of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Glad to have you back with us today as we continue to worship. And this is our congregation at large of Bible Home Church. And yes, you're invited to be a member of it. If you're listening right now, I consider you one of our brethren that are caring about the Word of God. And there's so few today that are. And we appreciate these things. You know, one of my great loves is Bible prophecy, and the Bible clearly shows that Jesus is that spirit of prophecy. That's from the book of Revelation. The very spirit of prophecy. Well, one of the things we know is that even the very Christian religion will be polluted in the last days. And he who comes as the beast of prophecy, Revelation 13, says he will appear to be like a lamb, but he'll have horns. Isn't that interesting? Have two horns. He'll speak like a dragon, but he will appear to be like a lamb. You know, the devil himself comes as an angel of light. And his ministers come as ministers, come disguised as ministers of righteousness. We're continuing our series then about the Pharisees, the religion of the Pharisees. A lot of people think they're just going over some academic exercise when they read Gospels such as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where it will teach you about the evil, polluted religion of the Pharisees and what Jesus had to say about them and their religious teachings. Many people say, well, that was for 2,000 years ago. It's only of passing historical interest to me. You are dead wrong. You see, the reason I believe that these accounts are in the Gospels are twofold. They not only chronicle what happened during that human lifespan, you might say, of Jesus Christ, our Lord and God, but these are a warning for our day. Every word in all of the New Testament is a testimony of the power of Jesus Christ. It's his story. But more than that, it's a prophetic significance to you and me. If you discover the horrible truth of the Pharisees in reading the Gospels, you will come to discover the horrible truth of the Pharisees operating today inside the Christian church. What a shock that is. What a handsome discovery, because it'll put you on the road to knowledge, to spiritual discernment and understanding. And did you know that the Bible says that one of God's greatest gifts is discernment and prophecy? Despise not prophesyings, Paul said. Some people don't even believe in prophecy for today. I believe wholly, 100% in prophecy today, if it corresponds to the truth of the Bible. Oh, a lot of people just spout off things off the top of their head in these churches, and they speak in tongues and they have an interpreter, and both of them are just pretenders and fakes many times. There are people that I see claim to be prophets on TV, and all they do is have a parade of people come up to them and they prophesy over them. Like, they're like seers, like fortune tellers. They may as well get out their tarot cards or their tea leaves or cast lots. They may as well consult the odds makers at Las Vegas on what your life is going to be. Consult the astrologers and so forth. But I'm here to tell you that this Bible chronicles not only the past, all the way back to the beginning of mankind, and even before that, to your future and my future and the future of all of mankind. It's all right here in this great book, the Holy Bible. Now, a lot of people fault Tex Mars for a lot of different things. Even my wife Wanda every once in a while finds fault with me. I'm not sure, but it could be that some of my staff here have a few things to say about me, choice words. I don't know. I hope they like me. I love all of our staff here. They're my family. They're precious to me. But every once in a while, they may not like some of the things I do, or they may think I'm just foolish about some of my policies or whatever, or they think they could do it better. And, you know, maybe they could. I listen very closely to their suggestions and ideas, and sometimes they're better than mine. In fact, it seems as I get older, their suggestions are a lot better than mine. So, and I have to sort of carve up mine and change them about and all that stuff. But there is one thing that I will never be faulted for. There is one thing that I am perfect on. Ah, that's right. My wife can't complain about it. I am absolutely perfect on this thing. And here it is. It's not any trick. It's not something hidden. I perfectly know that this Bible is the Word of God. It's true. It's without error. It's been preserved for you and me today. And we can take it in our hands. We can open it up and read it and trust that every word is God speaking through His prophets and the apostles and these writers. I know that, and I know that I cannot be faulted for saying that and preaching that and teaching that. Someday somebody may go over my life story. I don't really think it's significant enough for anybody. Don't waste your time on my life story. Don't write a biography about me. There might be somebody that does, and they might find some terrible things about me. In fact, I think about 40 years ago, one time I voted Democrat. I'm not sure. They may even dig that out. I can't remember who I voted for, but I think I voted Democrat because that was before the days they supported abortion and all the other stuff. That'd be a terrible route. That's a skeleton in my closet right there. I've revealed 40 years ago voting Democrat in an election. I wouldn't do it again, I can tell you that. But listen, I've made mistakes. Not a lot of big ones. That's why I'm writing about my life wouldn't be that juicy. I just don't have all the scandal that so many other Christian televangelists have and everything. I'm sorry, but don't waste your time. I've never smoked pot. I've never been injected with heroin. I've never, taken cocaine. Don't know how it feels to do any of those things. Back in my, days before I got married and, when I was a wild young Air Force officer type and all that, I probably drank a few more beers or drinks than I should at the officers club. Partied with the boys, just giving joking and talking and just foolishness. I look back now and it was just foolishness. You go with the pilots and all the others after work and, after a hard day on the flight line and you go out there and you just chat with them and party and talk and have fun and have drinks at happy hour and all that. Just wasting your time. That's all it was. Stupid. Spending a few dollars more than you needed to for alcohol that didn't do you one bit of good, clouded your mind. Just totally stupid. Now, if you're in that condition listening to me right now, you are a stupid person for doing that. How do I know? Because I did it back in my younger days. I was a stupid man. And then one day, God just sent me on a little journey, and He just took me by the nape of the neck and threw me down into the valley of despair and said, let me just show you what you are, who you are, and what you're supposed to be. He changed my life, friends. When you're down in that valley of despair, when you're in that wilderness, you look up and say, where's the light? What did I do wrong? Where am I to go now? And then you realize there is one who you can latch on to. There is one only who can rescue you. That happened to me one day. And that's when I gave up all that stuff. That's why you won't find much juicy stuff in my biography. You know? You'll just find the normal sins. You know, anger, telling a fib here and there. You know, just on and on. None of which are good by any means. And I suppose in one sense, you know, if you commit one sin, you've committed all of them. Until you're redeemed by Jesus Christ, and then those are all forgotten. That's why I'm not going to go back and dwell on those things. Why should I? Jesus said he would throw them in the sea of forgetfulness. What am I supposed to do? Go back and fish for them? Pretty stupid. You talk about being stupid. That would be the supreme idiocy. Don't let the devil remind you of your past. And if you do, say, well, devil, look at your future. That'll shut him up. But that's the one perfect thing that I've always done in this ministry. So I like that question. Tex, what have you done perfect in your ministry? Okay, here it is. I have always supported, endorsed, believed in, taught, preached that this Holy Bible is truly the Word of God. The King James Bible is 100% without error, preserved. God said he would preserve it, keep it pure. I don't believe that God lied. I know he did not lie. If you think he lied, well, you're in big trouble and you're the liar. I'm not going to go along with you. If you think you found errors, I've just had so many preachers that came up to me and said, you know, I love your supporting that King James Bible. There are a few errors in it, but not many. I have pastors that came up to me, boy, they're talking to the wrong guy and me. I tell them, oh, listen to me, friend. Listen, you're in bad territory. You're up against a warrior for Christ. And you need to do some studying. You're way off. You're in quicksand. This Bible is 100% without error. And if they don't watch out, I'll grab them by the nape of the neck and I'll just teach them some things. I like to do that. You see, with all the other mistakes I've made in my life, I look back and say, this is the one good thing I've done. When Jesus gets me before the throne and says, why do you deserve to be here? And I don't exactly know what judgment day is going to be like, but it could be that. And he says, well, what have you done good for me? I'm going to say, well, Lord Jesus, I told everybody your Bible was 100% without error and it could be believed in and trusted. You know what? I expect to be rewarded for that. Now, I may be foolish, but I don't think so. I believe in this Bible. And if you believe in the Bible, you're going to believe in the one who wrote it, Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, your sins will be forgiven you, and you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. I like that. I'm going to tell Jesus that. That's my sermon to Jesus. And I'm going to tell Jesus, I'm standing on that, Lord. You can burn away all my other works. Maybe they didn't amount to anything. But this one work stands forever. And I think Jesus will probably just smile at me and say, yeah, you're right, Tex. That one thing stands. Along, of course, with the fact that on that particular day when you repented of your sins and gave your life to me. Those two things alone, and they both are linked together. You can't have one without the other. If a man does not know Jesus Christ as Lord but says, I believe in this Bible 100%, I don't believe in him. And if a man says, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in this Bible 100%, I don't believe in him. The two go together, hand in hand. Sort of like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You can't separate them. Benny Hinn wrote a book and he said, every morning I wake up and I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. That's pretty stupid. Because you can't separate the Holy Spirit from Jesus and the Father. I think he tried to do that. These strict Trinitarians take it to an extreme and say there are three persons. Well, first of all, God's not even a person. Now, if they want to call it something else, I'll go along with them. But three persons? For many years, I was in the Air Force chaplaincy, and they sang that old Lutheran song. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And I sat there saying, wait just a minute. The Bible says God is a spirit, and you must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's interesting, isn't it? These people are saying God is three persons. Is the Holy Spirit a person? I think not. That's pretty dumb. Not only is it dumb, it's not even correct. Now, you know, maybe some of them sitting in those pews didn't really mean it. Maybe Martin Luther didn't really mean it, although I'm afraid he might have. What do you think the Holy Spirit is going to look like when you get to heaven? Friends, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit comes here, and he is a witness of Jesus. But it is a he. The Holy Spirit is not an it. That is true. He will testify of Jesus if it is truly of the Holy Spirit, because there is another spirit. He's the one, that false spirit, that says, that Bible's not real. Jesus wasn't really who he said he is. Uh-huh. You got to test the spirits, friend. But there is one Holy Spirit. And he will testify to you that this Bible is real. And that's why Tex Mars is perfect in that one thing. I'd love to pray for you. It's just a thing I like to do. It's not a burden. It's not an onerous task. Let me pray for you. I get a blessing by praying for you. Don't deprive me of my blessing. So what is your problem, dear friend? Do you have a loved one that needs Jesus? Are you sick? Are you ill? Are you depressed? Are you disappointed about something in life? You want somebody to pray with you? I'll pray with you. And I'll say something else too. And I mean this. Here's the second thing I can be perfect in. See, I'm going to tell Juana when I get home all these things I found. You know, she'll want to know about those. The perfection in her husband, Tex. The second thing is God answers prayers. I know that's true. I'm going to stand on that because that's in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit that is in me testifies to that as true. I'm going to stand on that because that's two things I've been perfect in today. There's a lot more. I'm going to find a lot more. Probably before this sermon is over with today that I'm perfect in. But they're all things of God. See, they're nothing about me. I'm only involved when I trust in God. Otherwise, I'm imperfect. I have flaws. I have blemishes. But the minute that I latch onto this Bible and believe in it 100%, suddenly I'm perfect. Of course, you know, there are little imperfections in my flesh, but we won't talk about those things. Write to us. We'd love to hear from you. You know, you might just want to call and encourage us. You might want to call and say, I'm praying for your success, for your ministry, that it'll reach so many lost people in the world, that you'll get the truth out to a needy world. I'd like to hear from you. I like attaboys. On the other hand, you may not like some of what I've said, and you just say, dear Tex, I want you to know you're a jerk. Okay, I'll take it. I'll throw your letter in the trash. Probably won't pay much attention to it, but I'll read it. You'll at least know that I know that you said I was a jerk. I don't get many letters like that, but every once in a while I get worse letters than that, actually, sometimes. So, you know, it's always nice to know how many people out there think I'm a jerk. Not many do, really. I'm amazed. I always say when I haven't been getting a lot of hate mail, I know I'm not doing enough for God. So I need to accelerate my teachings a little bit, you know. Get into the deep meat of the Word, you know. That's when you really get the hate mail. That's when I like it. That's when my blood boils and I'm getting, I just go. I get to be a fanatic then. I am a fanatic about things. And the more letters that blast me for sticking by this Bible, if I stick by this Bible and they bash me and they hate me, I love it. I love it. It invigorates me to get those kind of letters. Text, you're a jerk. Oh, wonderful. Praise God. Splendid letter today. Okay. We're not going to have a song today, but we have just a little bit of time left. We're going to talk about the revenge of the Pharisees. Folks, watch out for the Judaizers. They're Pharisees. They're part of the Pharisaic movement. You need to know about them. Here, again, is our series, a portion of it, Revenge of the Pharisees. Friends, listen to me. Here it is. Verse 10 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel." That's you. You, if you're a Christian, you are the house of Israel. How do I know that? Galatians also says so. If ye are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. The covenant promise. But as for the Jews, they're cut off. They're whacked off. How can they get back in? By accepting Jesus. But they despise, hate, and loathe Jesus and His children. He won't let them in. He won't let them back in. Why should He? Listen to verse 13. In that He saith, that's God, in that He saith, a new covenant. He made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Wow! He made a new covenant. They wouldn't obey the first one. So He cut them off. Now He has a new covenant. He puts it in people's hearts. You're born again. You have a new heart. You're circumcised in the heart. But there's that other group in Revelation. It's called the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan. And they say, we believe in the old covenant of Abraham. We will not have this new man, this King Jesus, rule over us. Kill him. Kill his disciples. What does God say? A new covenant. He saith a new covenant. He made the first old. Decayed. Waxeth old. Vanish. Wow. Well, what are we to do about all of those Jewish festivals? What are we to do about all the meats and the drinks you're supposed to eat and the washing you're supposed to do and all the ordinances that have been imposed? What are we to do? What about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Purim and all of those things? Ah. Verse 10 of chapter 9 of Hebrews talks about those which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. God imposed ordinances on the Jews, not for eternity, friends. That would be stupid. When Jesus came, I mean, the reason for those ordinances, the reason for those festivals and holy days was over. He was the reason. The time of Reformation. These were only effective until the time of Reformation. But wait, verse 11 then says, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Verse 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 15 says, and for this cause He is the mediator of the new Testament. And what happens to those who believe in the New Testament and are covered by this new covenant, the New Testament? It says that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Wow. The Jewish covenant, listen to me, is dead, dead, dead as a doornail. It's old. Decayed, banished. But don't worry about it. Jesus created a new covenant. He is the mediator. There is only one mediator between man and God. That mediator is not the Jewish Talmud. It's not the Jewish Kabbalah. It's not the Jewish Halakha, the law. It is Jesus Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. You say, but wait. Don't you think we ought to have the Passover and the Rosh Hashanah and all of the Jewish things? I mean, I do that as a Seventh-day Adventist. I do that as a Baptist. I do that as a Messianic Jewish Christian. Well, then you're an idiot. And you're a fool. And you're not paying attention to the Word of God. Let's go to the Word of God. Don't listen to text, Mars. I can be a fool just like you. But I believe in the Word of God. That makes me a little bit wiser if you believe in something else, such as your church or denomination's teaching, or your pastor's teachings. I don't trust myself. Every morning when I wake up, I look in the mirror and say, Lord, let your word be my lamp today to guide me. That's all I want. I don't want to serve myself. I want to serve God. Do you want to serve God? Then listen to this. Verse 9, chapter 4 of Galatians. Let's start with verse 6. I want to make sure you have the Spirit of God in your heart, or you're not going to receive this. Do you hear what I said? The natural man receiveth not the things of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're going to say, Tex, you're a liar. It doesn't matter if I read the Scriptures. I can read them 100 times. You'll still say, that cannot be true. I've been taught otherwise. So I'm going to start with verse 6. It says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Are you the Son of God? Do you have the Spirit of God? Then receive this, my friends. Verse 7 says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then a heir of God through Jesus Christ. Not through the Jews are you an heir. Not through the Old Testament. Not through anything but Jesus Christ are you a heir, an heir of God. Did you just get it, friends? Don't try to say, Israel, return to the roots. Return to our Israeli roots. Return to the Talmud. Return to the Halakha. Baloney!
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.